Hello, this is Jim McCanny, May 26, 2011. And they apparently were running another show in my slot here. May 26, 2011, this is James McCanny Science Hour. I'll have to deal with that issue later, but seems the last few weeks just seems difficult to get my show on the air. At least, at any rate, I'll be talking a lot about weather on this show, and I'll be talking about some of the reasons for the severe weather in the United States over the last weeks and actually months. Looking through some of my notes here. It's kind of disconcerting when you find out your show is not being aired. So, first of all, I want to talk about how amazingly fast people's lives can come crashing down. And talk to people in Minneapolis, Joplin, Missouri. Talk to people in Haiti who are dealing with cholera and bad water. I've been talking for a long time that people should be prepared. And these are places where this is middle America. This is the average person on the street who all of a sudden their lives are destroyed. There are still entire areas of Minneapolis, right in central Minneapolis, without power, without facilities. And this all a result of the recent storms that rolled through this area. So at any rate, make sure that you are prepared. I'll be talking about some other issues here later in the show. The type of preparedness that you should be aware of, that it's all the same no matter what it is, whether it's a tornado, whether it's a government terrorist activity, no matter what it is, preparedness is the same. Let's make it simple. Three things. You need water. You need food to last quite a long time. And then you also need to stay where you are. Travel is not going to be a possibility for a lot of people. And you really can't depend on the government coming in and taking care of you. Also, I learned from, and this is something I learned a long time ago, I made a mistake last week. I pre-announced what I was going to be talking about last week. And so what happens is the clowns come out of the woodwork and try and jump on any radio show possible to try and preempt my message. And, of course, last week I was talking about why comets can cause solar flaring. So, of course, some of the imposter wannabes have to jump on a radio show and try and be the experts. But anybody who caught that, this is part of education, too. You know, these people don't just get there by themselves. Someone puts them there, and that's because there has to be a great deal of misinformation for the trying to keep the public dumbed down, so to speak. This show is the only place you're going to get real information about the electric universe, about understanding how the solar system really works. So, at any rate, I will not be pre-announcing topics for my show. I can give hints, but unfortunately, the disinformation crew has been really after me, especially since I did away with their Comet Elenin misinformation campaign. That was a huge campaign, and it took a lot of effort on my part to drown it out and get it out of the limelight so that we could get back to normal business. But that's the way things are going these days. So at any rate, by the way, if you're still wondering about Comet Elenin, it's a non-issue. Listen to my previous shows. I'm not going to waste any more of my good show time talking about that. The weather, these past weeks, there have been two hurricanes coming across the United States in succession, just bombing raids on the country. That's the best thing I could say about it, or the most accurate thing I could say about it. just bombing raids across the entire United States. And by the way, if one were to try and soften up the country and make it more pliable, in other words, to, now if you were getting ready to pull an event on a national scale, what would you want to do? You would want to weaken the people in the countryside. You would want the crops unable to plant crops. The weather control has gotten to the point where they can extend climates from seasons, for example, much colder. They can keep the jet streams coming from a much higher latitude and keep things colder. So the question, in fact, Nori last night posed this question in a couple minutes on the show. Last night I didn't have time to answer it, but he asked me, is this weather that we're seeing manipulated? And I would say that, very possibly part of it is. We're seeing a tremendous amount of worldwide weather, far more than could be controlled by lasers. I would be surprised. They might have the capability and the power to control storms all over the world. But I'll be doing a summary here. Let me just give a summary right now of the severe weather this past week, because most people don't see the world weather as I do. You won't hear about this on your local weather channel. You won't hear about it on your local TV station. You won't hear about it on weather.com or spaceweather.com, and you won't hear it on any NASA sites. You won't hear it from NOAA, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. You won't hear it from any of those people because they don't know what causes the weather. At least the tier two garbage science that is pawned off on the public. But at any rate, Africa, let's start there. Central Africa, which is normally somewhat active with thunderstorms this year, is the Africa is has been just bombarded by tremendous thunderstorms. These come rolling off that western nub, about 10 degrees north latitude on Africa west coast. And typically those will roll into the Atlantic and move somewhat northerly as they move across the Atlantic. Now the streams of these storms are moving south. They're moving down to Venezuela, south in southern Venezuela, moving across into Colombia, moving across even into Ecuador, where there's tremendous storm activity going on than there has been for months, tremendous flooding activity going on in these areas, some areas completely inundated with all of the bridges and communication, the death toll unknown in some of these areas. So northern South America just being slammed, and then these storms have enough power to still roll off and continue into the eastern Pacific Ocean, where they continue on a westerly direction. There's an amazingly big typhoon right now raging in the Pacific Ocean. It began just a few days ago from one of these storm systems and now is a massive typhoon about the third of the size of China. It is now moving westerly into Vietnam and Thailand, into the peninsula, southeastern Asia, where it's just going to pound and just roll over those countries like a bowling ball. North America, let me just continue with the Pacific Ocean. The Pacific Ocean boiling with just tremendous storm activity and moving all across into the Indian Ocean. The western United States, typically this time of year, we're getting our jet stream out of the western Pacific, where it'll come up across through southern California and cause storms every now and then, every number of days, to reach the Midwest. Right now, there's an amazingly powerful easterly moving linear jet stream that's very low, and it's traveling from about the 45-degree latitude directly east into the Oregon, the transition between Oregon and California. And as it does this, it pushes these storm systems across the United States the eddy currents that come off the southern portion of this directly eastward moving jet stream, which is very unusual. It's the initiation of the tremendous himicanes. I call them himicanes. This is a term I coined in my weather book, Principia Meteorologia, the Physics of Sun Earth Weather, that I coined in that book, the himicanes. These are overland hurricanes. And by now, by standards, hurricane standards, we would have had two hurricanes passing overland in the United States, but they are not classified. They're not even talked about by NOAA or the National Weather Service. They just consider them somewhat, I don't know, normal. But at any rate, the United States, I've posted some of these on my webpage, jmccsci.com, and you can see the radar video of these storm systems, tremendously powerful storm systems, and the tornadoes, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of tornadoes being generated from these amazingly powered storms. So you can see the formation and the structure of hurricanes in these immense storms, rotating complete with band clouds. Remember that much of the destruction of a hurricane comes from the leading edge tornadoes. And so at any rate, the U.S. just being flooded, blanketed with tornadoes. Joplin, Missouri, of course, with hundreds dead, thousands missing. And Minneapolis, I was actually in the Midwest during some of these storm systems, and the air raid sirens, or the emergency sirens, were going off all over the place. Tremendous amount of damage due to these storms. So one might wonder, could these be manipulated? Could these be softening up the countryside? Now, let me just advance that concept a little further. I've checked around the country. Crops are not being planted due to weather. I've heard other talk show hosts have talked about the economic factors, that the crops cannot be planted because of the high cost of fuel, that the farmers cannot afford the fuel to plant the crops, which is an amazingly bizarre situation, as we have a little idiot sitting in the White House whose only thought is to start another war or two or three. But at any rate, the point is that even due to weather, the crops cannot be planted. If you planted right now throughout the Midwest, the crops would not grow. The corn, the soybeans, the staple crops would not make it. And so we might not have a growing season this year in the United States. If this goes another 2 weeks, I would say, we will miss the growing season in 2011 in the United States. Corn, for example, needs day and night temperatures above 72 degrees. That's optimal. We're now not even hitting. We're last night in the upper Midwest hitting temperatures of maybe in the low 50s. So it is so far away from being acceptable weather for planting that we may, in fact, unless there's a radical change very quickly, we will miss the 2011 growing season in the United States. And also just due to severe weather, couple that with the fact that radiation from Japan will accumulate in the crops this year, we're headed into some very tough times. I want to talk a little bit also about a strange alignment that's occurring in the solar system right now. And I talk about electrical alignments. And these, to affect Earth weather, typically have to have multiple factors, not just one or two. And they have to be major, and there have to be many factors that you have to consider. But at any rate, right now, Mercury, Venus, Mars, and Jupiter, so Earth is the missing planet out of that list, Mercury, Venus, Mars, and Jupiter have a very exact electrical alignment in the what I call the August return current sheet. And that return current sheet is a little bit out of whack right now. It's a little east of what it normally is. And so that's the return current sheet that's part of the electrical current solar system. You can, if you're not familiar with that, look at my other books in the series. The preliminary information. But the point is that this is a very interesting situation because Earth is not in that particular alignment. So how could that affect Earth? Right now, there are tremendous solar flares coming off the eastern limb of the sun, moving in that direction, moving out towards Jupiter. Okay, so let's take a look at this. For those that don't have a map of the solar system, imagine the Earth-Sun line. In other words, the line between Earth and the sun. Now, say you would be facing the sun from Earth. Now, using your right hand, just kind of make an arc with your right arm and go around the sun 90 degrees. That's where Jupiter and Venus, Mars, and Mercury are all aligned right now. And that's the direction where the booming solar flares are moving at this point. Earth right now has a very strange situation. There's a measurement of the solar wind. This is the electrical current of protons and some electrons coming out from the sun. It has zero dynamic pressure, something that I don't know if I've ever seen before, but it would be like putting your hand in front of a fire hose and having no pressure coming out of the fire hose. There's a pressure in the solar wind, and it's the measurement of that is called the dynamic pressure. It is zero. There isn't any. The solar wind is moving by, but the actual pressure, it is a very weak solar wind. But we're involved in this very powerful weather, which means that the solar system has a lot of turbulent electrical activity at this time. So very strange, and for those Comet Elenin hacks out there, there is no Comet Elenin alignment at this time, and all of this activity is going on. So at any rate, just want to make sure that everybody out there is completely understanding that there are no issues with Comet Elenin. That was a big disinformation campaign set up by none other than our good disinformation crew and some NASA cronies to try and distract the public and then set up phony weather, phony web pages and videos, YouTube videos, to create a big stir over this when there wasn't any at all. Okay, so no more on that. But at any rate, that it appears what's going on, the eddy currents from the tremendous electrical currents that are going out to Jupiter are in fact causing some very strange weather, some very powerful weather on Earth. I have been trying to determine how long this will last and what areas of the planet are not experiencing severe weather. And it's very hard to find places. Chicago Airport the other day closed down, 800 flights canceled. These are not small storms. These are larger than the United States. The storm that's moving into Southeast Asia right now, as I said, about the third of the size of China, to give you a scope of what's going on. But all in all, if you look at the SOHO conditions, the measurement of the sun is relatively mild. Yesterday, we had some very rapidly changing magnetic field activity coming by Earth, coming from the sun. But this spring has been if you took three or four or five of the worst springs on record as far as tornadic activity in the United States, this spring is by far the worst. And so, and we've seen some. I remember a few years ago there were 74 tornadoes running through Alabama and the Carolinas all the way out to the East Coast. And we thought that was bad. Now we're dealing with storms. They've stopped counting the number of tornadoes. And the storm a number of weeks ago running through the south, 250 tornadoes counted in one storm system alone. That's the one that moved through the, I believe, Alabama in the south. Saturn right now, just to give you a heads up on other planetary weather, Saturn is experiencing some severe storm activity. The storm that actually began around last December, or at least was announced last December, has been growing dramatically. It's a tornadic, cyclonic type of storm in the weather systems of Saturn. So it makes one wonder if, in fact, the weather in the solar system, what's going on here? Could there be something going on? This is the time of year, June, when, remember that the Harrington studies talking about Planet X coming in from the south, this is the time that it could possibly be seen, and the only time during the year, unless you have a space-based telescope. And I'm not too sure, I'm not aware of too many amateurs out there that have their very own space-based telescope. But at any rate, I'll be trying to get some real information on these topics. I would encourage people to avoid speculation at this point about Planet X-type objects. I'm going to make some efforts, as I say, to find out real information and get that to the public. Let's see, the storm on Saturn. Also, I just wanted to mention that in the northern hemisphere, in the United States, the northern states, which typically in very almost standard, receive their wind patterns from the west, the wind patterns have been steadily from the east, and that's due to the ongoing, as I said, these eddy currents that come off the Pacific to drive the low cells far south, and we're seeing these storm systems as those storm systems move easterly through the central United States, then the upper arms of these systems will drive the winds into the northern states from the east, and that's what's going on. I want to mention also in the Caribbean, as the storm systems move westerly, as I said, down into Venezuela, and they, some of them will split and come north, and it's typically right now moving up to eastern Cuba, moving easterly through Haiti, the Dominican Republic, and across through the eastern Antilles. So the wind systems there, now the trade winds typically in those islands comes from the north-northeast. Standard, year in and year out, that's where the trade winds come from. And right now, the trade winds are coming from the west due to this very strange cyclic pattern of winds. As I said, they come off Africa, are dipping down south, moving westerly into northern South America, and then some of that branching off, going north, and coming back from the west across Cuba, across Dominican Republic, and out into the Antilles. So the wind patterns on those areas coming from the west, opposite from their typical easterly patterns. Okay, this week, NOAA put out its annual weather report for the hurricane season, 2011 hurricane season. And I always I don't want to spend a lot of time on my show because every year it's just the same ridiculous monotone prediction that they're going, oh, there's going to be between 6 to 10 storms, 12 to 18 storms, 6 to 10 should become hurricanes. This would be like saying, in the springtime, I think the trees are going to have leaves, and I think it's going to rain, and I think that we're going to have some days that are sunny. That's about the equivalent of the intelligence of these reports. NOAA has a forecasting center. The Colorado State University has a prediction center. And these are just vague statistics. I can't believe people earn a living doing this. And the factors they give for their prediction, Warm weather in the Atlantic Ocean, a couple degrees above average. Then they talk about La Nina causing a little bit of change in the high-level wind patterns. None of these factors have anything to do at all, zero, with hurricane production and sustaining hurricanes. Now, to be a named storm, you only need a 39 mile per hour wind in the storm. That's almost anything. In fact, the two hurricanes that just rolled through the northern United States would classify as hurricanes. But of course, NOAA does not mention anything about these. They take the Atlantic and the Pacific Ocean as if they were isolated weather systems, totally disjoint from the rest of the world, and make their predictions based on a very limited and very incorrect set of factors. But the end result is they boil this all down to a very bland, for example, if you look at the average hurricane season, there are 11 named storms and 6 hurricanes and 2 become major hurricanes. So when they say there are going to be 12 to 18 storms, they're doing that around the average. Gee, that does, I could find a lot of third graders that could do that. Then when they talk about the storms that might become hurricanes, they said 6 to 10. Well, the average number is 6 per year, so they're moving it up a little bit on the high side. But remember, they're the ones that measure the wind speeds. They are the ones that report them. And besides this, they get to do a mid-year correction around August sometime. If there haven't been too many hurricanes, they will lower their numbers a little. If there have been quite a few extra ones, they will add a few notches to their prediction. And then they can come out just right so they get their funding next year. But remember, this is Tier 2 garbage science meant to keep the public from understanding what really powers hurricanes. If the public knew en masse that hurricanes were powered from electrical currents from the initiated by the sun and that are passing by Earth, and if they understood that it's actually the electrical currents from the ionosphere that drive these tremendous storms, the public would then wake up and realize that we have all of this power at our disposal, tremendous amounts of power that could be harnessed and used for electricity to run our industries, and we would not need oil, we would not need nuclear, we wouldn't need coal, we wouldn't need any of those forms of power. And look at the mess these energy sources have caused with a BP oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico, which, by the way, is not over. I know I've gotten feedback from people in the Carolinas who cannot grow a garden because of the acid rain coming out of the Gulf of Mexico. You have the Japanese nuclear disaster with that's going to go on for decades and contribute into the food chain. We're going to see I've talked about that, the accumulation and the lack of real reporting from the federal agencies, how they're trying to dilute literally the effects of that radiation into the in as far as the harmfulness of the relative to the public. If we looked at the United States since February and the hurricanes that are coming across land, moving across the United States since February, we would have already filled the NOAA prediction for 2011 for named and hurricane class storms. So let me give you quickly my prediction. My prediction is very different. And by the way, I like this headline that USA Today put up for the federal prediction. Headline grabbing, fierce forecast. Feds predict up to 10 hurricanes in 2011. Well, gee, that just happens to be the average number of hurricanes in a year. So it's so ridiculous, but fierce forecast. Oh, it just makes me ill to think that this is the standard fare for science. So at any rate, my predictions for 2011, actually right now, if you look at the conditions, Earth is not involved in these alignments, but I talked about the Mercury, Venus, Mars, Jupiter alignment. By the 10th of June, if things go according to plan, this severe weather activity around the United States and the world should subside. But that gives us a very small window where we can still have some severe storm activity. Other than that, early August, around the 3rd of August, is a time when there's basically a minor set of alignments due to a Mercury and a passing new moon. But those, again, are not significant enough because other environmental factors, so to speak, could outweigh any of those alignments. So at any rate, not a lot expected this year. I'm going to do a quick article here, or talk about an article that just came out. I'm looking at this actually yesterday, May 25th. This hit the airwaves. Apple's iOS 4 hardware encryption has been cracked. A 256-bit hardware encryption that Apple uses to protect the data on its iOS 4 devices has been cracked by a Russian company that deals in encryption and recapturing data for forensic purposes, intelligence agencies, and for the military, etc. So at any rate, if Apple is still, which they are, that when they're talking about 256-bit encryption, they're talking about the use of prime numbers to form encryption codes and encryption mechanisms. Absolutely ridiculous now that people can easily calculate prime numbers. 256-bit encryption is a fairly healthy, by normal standards, a fairly healthy encryption set, but given the fact that that it's very easy to break these. In fact, I have a show coming up. I've done shows on this before, but I'm going to go into a bit more detail. But I find it ironic that last week, or 2 weeks ago, I believe it was, I announced that I would be doing a show on breaking encryption, RSA encryption codes, and showing how easy it is. And then 2 weeks later, it comes out that a Russian firm has fairly easily broken the iOS 4 encryption hardware from Apple's devices. At any rate, stay tuned for that. I'll be announcing when that will come up. In fact, I probably won't pre-announce it the particular week that I'll be giving it, but just stay tuned. That will be a show coming up in the near future. Just a quick side note, by the way, I'm going to be talking about, on the main science topic, I'm going to be talking about planets that NASA has announced that there are more rogue Jupiter-sized planets in the galaxy than there are stars. Now, there's a lot of stars in the Milky Way galaxy. They claim by measurements that they've made, and it actually looks like the data could be real and significant, it could be real data stating that there are more Jupiter-sized planets in the galaxy than there are stars, and they're floating free from the stars. They're out there floating around. And so by average, some star like the Sun could have 2, 3, 4, or even 5 statistically. So at any rate, I'll be talking about that in a minute. But it looks like, my take on that is, it looks like NASA is about trying to get ready to make an announcement, like Planet X type announcements, Jupiter size objects. First, I want to talk about something that has been around for a while, but I want to talk about FEMA camps. This is a topic many other people have covered, but I really haven't covered it much on my personal show here. So I'll quickly go through some of the statistics. There are about 800 FEMA concentration camps in the United States, capable of handling around 20,000 prisoners each. So some of these can hold up to 2 million people, like one in Alaska. If you look at the full capacity of this, there's enough for 16 to 20 million people to be put in concentration camps very quickly in the United States. Now, remember when I was talking about getting rid of the countryside, how do you, and this is something, if you had a nuclear disaster, people would go to the countryside. If you had, let's say, earthquakes, people would tend to go to the countryside. If you were in control of the government and you wanted all the people to come into the cities, what would you do? And I've talked about this before in the Iowa flooding of a number of years ago. I said that the way to do this is with weather bombing. You would weather bomb the country, and that appears to be what might be going on right now. Destroying the countryside so that the people have no means of living there. They're flooding it out. Look at the Cajun country south of New Orleans, opening the floodgates where the water literally floods out the people there. They just have no place to go. They have to leave. You look at places like Joplin, Missouri, that whole surrounding area just bombed, weather bombed. If you look at other parts of the country, you can see that with manipulated weather, within a short amount of time, you could destroy the people's ability to live in the countryside, unless they were very well prepared. In other words, they had their water filters, because remember, the water is going to be contaminated. There might be a lot of water, but you can't drink it. Like Haiti right now, having tremendous water issues with flooding because of the storm activity, and a lot of water, but a lot of polluted water. Cholera is the main problem in Haiti right now. And so at any rate, I wanted to go through a number of the edicts that are set in FEMA to take over control of the public very quickly, to take over all modes of transportation, control of highways and seaports. These are executive orders, by the way, that are already in place. Seize control and control communications media. Now remember that I announced a couple weeks ago that the president can text now through FEMA, through the Homeland Security. They can text everybody in the country. That means your phone company has given all of your personal information and access to your telephone to the federal government. It allows the federal government to take over all electrical, power, gas, petroleum, fuel, and minerals, to seize all means of transportation, including personal cars, trucks, or vehicles, and total control over highways, seaports, and waterways. It takes control over all food resources and farms, can mobilize citizens into work brigades under government supervision, and can take over all health, education, and welfare function. That includes hospitals. It can establish a national registration of all people. It can take over aircrafts, airports, and commercial aircraft. It can relocate communities. And this is one that I really wanted to get at. They can relocate entire communities to build new facilities or move entire populations, and this is where the FEMA camps come in. And remember I said, how do you get the population from the countryside into the cities? How do you herd them around? This is a big country, and there's a lot of people, and they're spread all over the place, and you can't do it with a land army. You can't look at the size of the United States. Say you had a 2 million man land army. How would you get the people from the countries in the cities, because the people in the cities would be trying to get out? It would take all of those troops simply to contain the cities. There wouldn't be any left over to go out in the country, so you need another means to get the people from the country, to corral them, to move them like cattle to a place where they, either the FEMA camps or the cities, where they can be controlled. The only effective way of doing that is with weather bombing. So you have to stay where you are. You need food. Remember that the water can easily be poisoned, so you need to get the sludge out of the water. you need a water filter, and you need food. And even though the communications will be very difficult, you need a plan in place so the people in your group know where to go, where to meet, and how to stay there. And you cannot let people leave. That's the classic mistake. That allows the federal government to take all aliens and allows... This is the one that I want to really concentrate on. Your local police force, your local sheriffs, all of your local facilities, all your local infrastructures, everything that you do would be taken over by the federal government. And all of the personnel who now works for your local city, municipality, or whatever would be completely under the direction of the FEMA control. Here's a comment that I see coming from this document. It says that FEMA's role is a new frontier in the protection of individual and government leaders from assassination and from civil and military installations from sabotage and or attack, as well as prevention of dissident groups from gaining access to U.S. opinion or a global audience in times of crisis. This means that you have no way to communicate with anybody or yell for help. So at any rate, Alaska, as I say, having some installations capable of maintaining, 2 million people. And, let's see, 2 million people in some of the camps, Fort Drum in New York, Arizona, Fort Huachuca, Arkansas, Fort Chaffee, California, Vandenberg Air Force Base. These just are a few. Colorado, Trinidad, and Fort Carson, Florida, Avon Park, Gunnery Range, federal prison camp in the Everglades at Pensacola, Georgia, Fort Benning's, Illinois, Marseilles, located on the Illinois River, and Chanute Air Force Base in Illinois. On and on and on. I won't go into these, but federal prison camps, facilities, and military bases, many military bases being available for that. So at any rate, what do you have to do? You have to be prepared. You need a water filter. You need a pre-filter. And you need some items that will keep you alive, food items, through a fairly long period of time till the smoke clears, so to speak. Okay, I'm going to turn my attention now to talking about the planets. I want to talk about how this study was done. Now, NASA produced the study. It was published on the day of my last show, and I always love how they do this. Published on the 19th of March, the day of my last show. But don't worry, I will get it in eventually. Here's how they did the study, and to me it sounds real. It sounds like real data, and that's why I'm talking about this. And of course, the science explanation that goes with this is rather bogus. But that's immaterial, because the point is that they have done studies with very sensitive telescopes. And here's what they do. They take a look at stars in a star field, and they can see a vast number of stars in a given image of a telescope. And so they keep taking images, and they watch the stars. And the stars will expand. There's a certain contortions that the light from the star go through, indicating that there are objects moving directly in front of that star and in the light of the telescope here on Earth. Then by statistics, you can determine how many of these planets are out there. By statistical analysis, and I've taught statistics at the university level, I am quite well adept at working with statistics from all types of for data, and it very much looks like this data is real. The end result is that there are more Jupiter-sized planets. These are floating free out in clear outer space, away from the major star systems, and there are more of them than there are stars in the galaxy. Now, this is not a calculation based on dark matter or something like that. This is a direct measurement of light configurations of stars, and that's why I am giving this attention, because it's not a computer calculation, it's not a theoretical back of the envelope calculation about dark matter or something. It is dealing with the direct measurement of light from stars, and then analyzing this statistically, showing that, okay, now let's see what are the implications of this for a star like the Sun. As these bodies move through space, typically they would become associated with a particular star. And now, if you see that many around stars but still floating free from them, in other words, far enough from their gravitational attraction, where the gravitational attraction of the star is insignificant, then there are many, many, many more, probably thousands, 10,000 times more of these objects floating free in space than there are stars, not just one or two times, because the study does not analyze the space away from stars. It doesn't have a way to look at those. So these are just cold objects floating out in the coldness of darkness of the space in the galaxy between stars. And where we are, the next star is about 4 light years away. That's a long ways. There's a lot of space out there. So there could be lots and lots of these objects. Well, one might ask, if solar systems form the way NASA claims, with this whirling globe of dust and it comes together, how could all of these rogue planets be out there? Well, if you look at the theoretical paper I wrote, this is back in the first journal publication that I had when I was at Cornell University. It talked about the real formation of galaxies, how the material in the galactic arms is thrown out from the galactic center, and this is a fluid flow problem. The dust and the gases flow into the galactic center in a kind of a spiraling in motion, and then when they get close to the nucleus, they turn into a hot, seething liquid, so to speak, of matter, and then the matter comes shooting out in two opposite arms, and that's why galaxies have tremendous symmetry, among many other properties. But the point is that as this material comes shooting out, it's what I called in the paper the shotgun effect, the matter would start coagulating, so to speak, and then these coagulating objects would start rotating around one another, with most of the matter, that is the coagulated matter into planet-sized objects, being tossed out of these systems into free space. So it's a perfect analysis and result, theoretical result, from my theoretical work on the formation of galaxies. And in fact, it was near the galactic center where much of this study had looked at stars. So the end result is, yes, outer space is littered with large objects too small to have accumulated enough matter. Or maybe they did for a little while to burn as stars, but then burned out. And so basically what you have is a cold, extremely cold, Jupiter-sized object, some of them bigger, some of them possibly as big as the Sun, possibly some smaller down to Earth size. And if there is a distribution of sizes, as we've seen from other size distributions in the solar system of objects, for example, there are fewer and fewer of the big objects and many, many, many of the smaller objects as you get to the smaller objects. So the point is that there could be tons and tons of Earth-sized objects out there, and then these would then come moving into solar systems at random, just a random, and from almost any direction. That's something I've said before, and I've made that statement, and I'll make it again. that people talk about Planet X or Nibiru and all of this, remember that that's one of the big aspects of the misinformation campaign about Planet X, that there's only one, and that it was supposed to come in 2003 on May 15th, and then since it didn't come, well, it doesn't exist, so don't worry about it. That's total misinformation. There are many, 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 many Planet X-sized objects. NASA, in a very almost secretive announcement a number of years ago, said it had discovered many of these in outer space and said it had only discovered less than 1% of them. So, yes, there are many. NASA knows about these. It probably has orbits for many of them. And most of them are probably in what you would call benign orbits. They wouldn't affect us. They don't come into the inner solar system. But there are some that could and will and have in the past. And so for people who are real worried about Planet X and the one that Harrington might have been looking in the southern solar system, yes, that's an area unique because it's in the southern solar system, only visible during this time of year. You ask the question, why is NASA and the Vatican and all of the other major powers put their research facilities at the South Pole and none at the North Pole? What's so interesting about the southern sky? Well, it's probably because that's where the interesting objects are that they've discovered so far. But they could come in from any direction. They could come in from the east. They could come in from the west. They could come in from the north or the south. They could come from any direction. And remember that things could be moving out there in outer space so fast that it would come in and be here in a flash, and you would not have more than a day's notice. All you'd see is a big streak comet across the sky. And remember that when objects, any object, large or small, comes into the solar system, it would discharge the solar capacitor and become visible as a large comet. So at any rate, that's the situation. So there could be many, many Planet X objects, and they could come in at any time. One thing, I've got some efforts underway in which I'm going to try and do more of a general analysis of the sky with some good equipment, and including the southern hemisphere. And so that information will allow us to see some things and allow me to report directly to the public. And just remember that the government agencies they're there to snow the public, to give false information, to lie. Just look at the reporting of the Japanese radiation. Completely bad science, bad reporting, and all with a twist to make it sound like everything is okay. There's one question I know people are asking. Could the severe weather we're seeing today be related to something coming into the solar system? And the answer to that is coming from my mouth, is that I don't know. It's a possibility. There you can see a lot of strange information, strange activity going on in the government. So the point is that this type of activity could be related to an object coming into the solar system. They don't all have to be Planet X. They don't all have to come in and directly damage Earth, but the point is that it could be related. I don't have any specific information right now. So I'll have to, as I said, try and get better information on that particular topic. But there is no information right now, and I repeat that, there's no information that these particular weather systems we're seeing right now are due to a Planet X type object, just to preempt any people who try and misquote me or whatever. You can hear it here coming directly from the source. So the very important result, but here's another aspect of this NASA announcement. I think they're getting ready to make an announcement and make it just sound like this is just standard science. NASA's been doing it all along and all within the framework of standard science. That's what I think is going on. So at any rate, I'm about out of time. Just remember that the webpage, jmccsci.com, short for jmccsci.com, the pre-filters we have, we're struggling to keep those in stock. If you're interested in those, I would order them now. The water filters we have in stock, and of course, all the books are being reprinted as I talk right now because of the heavy demand for the books. This is Jim McCanney. This is my Science Hour, and as always, we are at the crossroads. Good night.